Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today we're talking Echo, Episode 3, and boy, oh boy, if you thought Episode 1 and 2 were crazy, Episode 3 really dives more into both Maya and Kingpin's relationship and Maya and her ancestral abilities, which are we're still kind of like learning what they are and what she can do with them. So I've been trying my best to like read up, right? I read a couple Echo comics. I read a couple Kingpin comics, just trying to see like, where do things cross over? What does her ancestral ability do actually? And so far, the show has taken it in what seems to be like a different direction.
Original direction.
Yeah. In the comics, it seems a lot more like she has the ability to like draw on some of the abilities of her past selves. Or her ancestors, I guess. But that's kind of it, other than the fact that she can like pick up things really quickly by like watching. Sort of like a less intense taskmaster. But in the series, it seems like she's almost like speaking with them. They're like warning her about things. They're reaching out. And it's an interesting way to view it. And then not only that, but like we as the viewers are watching their stories, sort of like bits and pieces of them. I think it's cool. I think it's interesting. I think that they're playing it up to a point where I feel like it's leading somewhere. But, you know, obviously we're not there yet. We're only three episodes in. So I don't know. I think it's cool. I'm enjoying that aspect of the story, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, I would say, you know, before we dive too far into that, what are our first thoughts? I got sidetracked because I was excited to talk about that. First thoughts for this episode.
Yeah, you kind of hit on it. Like you get more of that element in this one, but like as we're talking about it, see now I wish like with the action moment that we get in this episode and kind of what happens that's connecting these things, I really wish the Daredevil fight would have been at the end, because it could have changed the whole thing about that. And then even like, why didn't we see now? I don't think we like really got any of this side of Echo in like Hawkeye at all, which wasn't even in Hawkeye that much. So yeah, it's interesting how that plays out. But short episode. I think this is maybe one of the shortest ones. It's kind of like pretty much all in one location. But it's kind of cool. It shows more of like Echo and what she's capable of with picking up, how to, you know, piece together gadgets and use that to her advantage. And, you know, even like the little, like, it's almost like super spy stuff, right? Like the things that she can do with her shoe and, some other things. And then there's some things that happen near the end of this episode I do put question marks on, 'cause I feel like it wasn't really I don't know. It just seems like it wasn't explained perfectly, or like it just kind of, I don't know. It just specifically that has to do with like a, something that was created for her, her leg. I felt like there could have been a little bit more there. I just felt it was underutilized in a bit. But again, short, action packed episode. Pretty fun watch.
Yeah. How about you, Lisa?
I thought this one was good. It was a fun one to watch, but I will never be able to think of skating rinks in the same way again, which is kind of a negative. It was like, it really like, it had all of these really like intense visuals that I kind of was not expecting. But yeah, this one, this was a good one. It had a very different, I felt like a different tone than the first two, but it also feels like maybe this is, the one that's really pushing us towards the end of the season. In some ways, it kind of felt like the most important episode that we've had so far. Mm-hmm. So let's get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. The I guess like the bulk of this episode takes place with Maya being captured along with her cousin. I don't know why, but I'm always like, yeah, they're sisters. And they're like, no, that's right. They're not. They're just
cousins. But, yeah. But you...
Yeah, basically, yeah.
You say it that way, it'd be okay. They grew up, they're so close together, like they probably just act more like sisters than cousins.
Right. Essentially, Maya was like tricked and captured by these three people that work at this roller rink, who have called maybe Kingpin, maybe somebody in his organization. But basically they called and said like, hey, we got Maya, come get her. So they're just kind of like waiting for them to show up to take Maya away. Maya's cousin shows up to kind of like investigate where Maya may have gone. Also gets captured. I'm still confused why they capture them and then they put them in a room. And granted, yeah, they tie them up with, you know, tape or whatever. But they put them in a room full of things, tools,
stuff like, to use.
Yeah, exactly. And then close the door and no one's in there with them. And I was like, wow, I mean, you're really trusting that that two pieces of tape you put on her are gonna hold her down.
Yeah, somebody who almost took down Kingpin single-handedly, and they're like, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
Totally. What's she gonna do?
It's like they use, well, I can't remember if they use tape. I know at one point they kind of do that again with zip ties, but they even have like a little banter, like who's going to watch them? Are you too scared? And then it's like, all you got to do is like stand outside the door. But again, it's like, why are you standing outside the door? Right. Like, what is that accomplishing?
If anyone was in there and had seen her pop. So at one point she pops like a little knife out of the tip of her prosthetic shoe. Anyone in there would have seen that and been like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, no, you can't do that. But instead, no one was in there. So she just escapes. And then to that point, when she popped that out, I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Where has that been this entire time? Like, presumably, she didn't just get that. Mm-hmm. She's had that. So we, my wife and I just actually finished rewatching Hawkeye. And my first thought was when she's on the roof fight with Kate and Clint and Yelena, why didn't she pop this knife out of her shoe? Like she had it. She had to have had it. Yeah. So it did seem like they were like, how can we get her out of this situation? I know she's got a hidden knife in her boot. And it's like, well, I mean, cool idea, but it doesn't make sense that she never used it before now. I had a question about her ability to take all of these pieces of skates and make a gun that shoots bolts or ball bearings or something.
I couldn't tell what it was. I thought it was like the little like staple, like, you know, like when you had like the whole like strip of like staples and you could like break them in. Like, I thought that's what it was.
Maybe. But, yeah. I
don't know.
She literally just like picks up a bunch of stuff and then all of a sudden has a gun. And I was like,
with a laser.
How did she do that? Like, what did she watch that she pulled that from? Like, all of her ancestors, so far, we haven't met one of her ancestors that was like, a tech inventor or something. Mm-hmm. So like it was like this is really cool that she can do this, but again, what and why now?
I mean, we did see her grandpa is apparently good at mechanical stuff because he like made her the new leg and made mm-hmm. it like all souped up and things. So maybe it's just like, well, no, she got those abilities from her grandpa. It runs in her family. But I was mm-hmm. kind of like, did she seriously just MacGyver
yeah.
a whole weapon out of like skate stuff? who can do that? I also don't think that laser pointer would have been accurate. I can't imagine that being a good targeting system.
It immediately made me think like it was really funny because thinking about this episode and also thinking about Hawkeye now that I've rewatched it, I had the exact same thought when Kazi is like gonna snipe at the party in the last episode and he mm-hmm. turns on the laser pointer, and my first thought was, well, now anyone in that party can see that laser. Like, what a dumb idea. And sure enough, it does. Like, Clint's able to see it and they get everyone out. And so when she turns on the laser, my first thought was, well, now anyone can see where you are because you've got a little light on the front of your skate yes. gun.
Granted, I use a laser pointer to play with my dogs and they are not smart. Anybody can see that. I'd be like, oh, look at that.
Yeah,
and but if you, all that if you was took... there was like the one lady who wasn't even facing the door, sitting at a table facing the complete opposite direction. These yeah. criminals were not the brightest.
No, not top tier criminals. All.
No. And then to kind of circle back, like, I thought the intro to this was pretty fun because we get this, you know, silent film approach. So it really ties into the character of Echo we have. And then now we have one of her ancestors. And I like the meaning behind it all and the setup of what they're doing and how they're approaching things. And it shows more to like the character of Echo. But, you know, it's like the whole like takeaway from that, it's like with this ancestor, they're kind of like the sharpshooter, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, that's their thing. So I kind of feel like it's like instantly once she puts together this little makeshift gun, the first shot misses. I'm just like, it's like weird. You would think like it would just like, we don't really see these moments until we get like a little bit further in, like in the next 10, 15 minutes. It's like all of a sudden it's like that ability kicks in and she's right. unstoppable.
And that ability is so confusing because yeah. all we see with this ancestor is that she has a rifle.
Right.
So that makes right. her the like sharpshooter. But then yeah. the entire fight, Maya is just throwing things
mm-hmm.
and yeah, they're like hitting every shot. And it's like, yeah. well, but her ancestor, we haven't seen her throw anything.
Yeah.
We just know that she can shoot well. That doesn't equate to being able to throw things well.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's cool and I yeah. get it. But
and to the thing that you mentioned earlier, what you read, I feel like we kind of got that maybe near the beginning of like, you know, the ancestors kind of reach out to warn about things. And that's kind of like what led to her getting captured. It's like she's mm-hmm. walking around and then has these, you know, flashback moments, which maybe they were warnings, like, don't really know. It's never really fully. I wish they would go more into that right now, because mm-hmm. She never seems to question it or ask about it either.
Yeah. Yeah. She just like lets it happen. And it's yeah. like, whatever, this is fine. Yeah, I'm definitely, you know, hopeful that gets more screen time and maybe more attention as the series wraps up, where mm-hmm. they can explain it a little bit more, give us a little more insight into how it works. I feel like the like story that we get with her learning about her abilities
mm-hmm.
seems sort of rushed. Like it seems like there's so much more they could have done to explain her understanding of it and using it, but then instead they're just kind of like, well, everyone just wants to see Vincent D'Onofrio again, so
yeah,
let's focus on that. Yeah,
right. Now the initial man or person on the phone, it's like basically a whole set of Kingpin's goons that mm-hmm. show up. I do like the actor that was kind of leading them, though. I can't remember his name, but I just remember him from Limitless.
Oh, yeah.
And I like him as an actor. Like, he plays that role very, very well. And he just kind of has that vibe to him.
Right. Yeah, and they weren't playing around.
No.
They weren't even like
care. They could care less about talking about money because, you know, the initial three criminals, like kidnappers, all they wanted was money. And that's all they would talk about. And mm-hmm. you basically know right away, like, they're not getting a cent.
No. And not only did they not get a cent, but then they argue about not getting a cent and then they all die.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. They weren't playing around. But yeah, then that leads us to the big skate rink fight scene, which was a lot of fun. There were a lot of like little nods, mostly to Echo. Mm. Like, I think when she smashes somebody against, because we see the like sharpshooter thing, she's like throwing pool balls and stuff. Mm. And then she smashes somebody into a pinball machine, and it's like an Old West sharpshooter pinball machine. It was really funny. I had this moment where in movies where they go into laser tag arenas, I always feel like that's not what they look like. Like, having been, you know, I was a laser tag connoisseur when I was younger. That's not what laser tag arenas look like. In this, when they go into like the bowling alley laser tag room, I was like, they did it. That's exactly what it looks like in the laser tag. Everything is dark, and then they just border everything with like neon lights. And so
the odds that they just used a laser tag place, like a family entertainment center that has your skating rink, your laser tag, your arcade. And they're just like, oh, we can jazz this up a little, but it's fun.
Yeah. Do you mind if we break half the things in here?
Go for it.
There's a lot more showcasing like the little town that they're in near this, like on the motorcycle. Like, you get a lot of those shots around the little Oklahoma town that they're in, which I think was fun. I'm curious, like, how many people are going there now after the show?
Oh yeah,
check it out.
I'm sure.
Did they film this in Oklahoma or did they film it in Georgia? That little Georgia thing comes up at the end.
That's true. That's a great question. I thought they filmed this in Oklahoma, but maybe they didn't.
I thought whenever I was watching it, I thought it looked like Oklahoma. But
it's possible that they filmed like the establishing shots somewhere in Oklahoma. And then the rest is probably
Georgia. They're saying it was filmed primarily in Georgia. That's a bummer. I feel like we need Donovan. Like,
Donovan.
I do wish in the fight scene that Maya had come out on roller skates. I just feel like it would have leaned in a little more to the roller rink thing.
Then it would have been delightful.
Yeah, I'm just picturing like a fun, wacky fight on rollerblades.
I feel like that's like if the Disney team stuck with normally what they're doing, they totally would have done that. But they're trying to go for this more mature, grittier approach.
I mean, it was fun. It was intense. I feel like we're getting Echo now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like the first two episodes we're getting Maya, but now we're getting like, oh, she's like coming into her own as this like superhero, essentially. Like, she takes on there's like 12 of them or 13 of them.
More than what you see. Yeah. Cause when they all walk in, it seemed like there was like five or six of them.
Right. But then more and more keep popping up.
Yeah.
And she's able to take them all out.
Yeah.
Like, relatively unharmed. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to see her kind of coming into her own. I do want to know, like, what do we think? It's like she's building a team almost. I don't know that I like understand that part of the story. Like, I feel like Echo is kind of her own, just like a lone wolf kind of character. I don't see her on like a team with a bunch of people. So it's weird that she's like sort of building up this team with her cousin and the guy that owns the roller rink and her grandfather and the guy that, what was his name? The guy that she meets like right when she gets to town.
Her other cousin, Biscuits?
Yeah, Biscuits. Yeah. There you go. It's like she's building this like little team, but I feel like, but why? Like, you don't need this team.
I mean, it's her family. She just wants a support system. She's been estranged for a long time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But also with her cousin Bonnie, I can't remember if we have mentioned or discussed or realized this before, but the actress who plays Bonnie is the same actress who voiced Kahori in What If? Devery Jacobs. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
I didn't know.
So she's kind of had like a back-to-back Marvel thing going on. Nice. And I think that if I'm remembering correctly, she also was on the TV show Reservation Dogs, which I've only seen a couple episodes of.
I do recall seeing that. That's been on the watch list. I need to go check that out. Yeah.
Taka just has too many shows right now.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So real quick, before we kind of move into kind of like the last few bits of this episode, the primary goon, I can't remember his name. He basically gets a phone call, which more than likely was from Kingpin. It does show a phone number and lets that phone number sit on screen for a while. Did either of you call it or do anything?
No,
I did not. I thought about it, but I was like, maybe I may just go back like, and, or I haven't even looked up to see if that number does anything, but they let that number just sit there. And it wasn't like a 555, you know, traditional like movie fake phone number. This looked like could be a legit, potentially legit phone number, or maybe it's a code to something. Like, maybe the numbers could mean something. I don't know.
That would be cool. That would be really cool.
Or
someone someone check the Reddit. I'm sure somebody did it.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to look up. Like,
we've been so used to like QR codes, right? Like, generally there's like a QR code that will lead to like a comic, but it's like, maybe this number means, and numbers usually relate to like someone, like a maybe a birthday or a year or something with someone that's worked on the project or the comics, but this just seemed a little different.
It's Vincent D'Onofrio's personal phone number.
I do
the direct
I miss
phone number
the,
to Kevin.
Yeah. I do really miss the
QR codes.
The QR codes. Like, I don't know why we stopped doing that.
I don't know. Surely they're tracking that to see like how it's actually leading to more.
Yeah.
I bet they had to been tracking it.
We did get like a couple, you know, talking about the phone number. I haven't seen anything. Been trying to see if I could find anything. We have gotten a couple references to like Marvel things in this episode, which was also kind of nice. There's like a Roxxon, the like gas station that she
the gas station, yeah.
And that's like a big criminal empire. And in the comics, Kingpin's hammer, we see that in this episode, the like ball pin hammer. And then also referencing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Daredevil, like the original series Daredevil, we kind of see a little bit more of that with the like scene where Kingpin and Maya, when Maya's like young,
mm-hmm.
she's trying to get the ice cream or whatever, and he like goes over. It helps us understand how long Kingpin has been
mm-hmm.
Kingpin. And I'm hopeful that when the new Daredevil series comes out, they will continue to expand on how that series is related to the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know we kind of talked about, like, you know, what are people saying? What do we think? But, like, hopefully they're trying to, like, slowly combine the two into one universe. Or at least some sort of like spinoff of that universe. But let's talk about Kingpin. We didn't really know. You know, did he make it? Did he not make it? Surprise, he made it. he shows up with his eye patch on and it's this episode that he takes it off, right?
No.
This is right.
When they just kind of... So, we'll just kind of circle back. No, yeah, this is more... She's kind of taken off, gets to a location, and he's just there.
Right.
He's just there in the kind of the shadow, steps out like he's been waiting for her.
Just with some, like... tape eye patch, not a real one. Yeah,
it's not a real eye patch. Well,
which I liked it. I was expecting, because that's why when I saw that, I was like, I feel like we've seen like a live action version of Kingpin that had an eye patch, and I thought it was the Daredevil movie, but maybe it wasn't. But this does kind of go more towards the comic, which in the comic he has both of his eyes kind of have this like white tape patch taped over him, but this time it's just the one eye, which is still cool. But like, yeah. It's fun to see leaning into the comics.
Yeah. And I, you know, who knows? Maybe at the end of this, she shoots him in the other eye and then he's got two eye patches. But it was, I'm enjoying it more and more every time he's on screen because it's like he is really doubled down on this like Kingpin character being like, both intimidating and terrifying and also a little bit more like the first time we see Thanos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
right.
He's doing what he's doing for a reason, not just, it's not like the Joker, right? The Joker's a bad guy because he wants just like chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like harder to look at that and be like, oh yeah, like that's a good villain. It's just like, well yeah, of course he's a villain, he's just crazy. Whereas this is like, here we have this guy that just wants power but also understands you can't just take it from everybody because then you get in trouble. So he's like super smart and clever and also terrifying and good at like manipulating people into doing what he wants, which is like what got Maya into this whole mess. So every time he's on screen and it's just like, it's so, the tension is so high and like, what's he going to do? Is he going to go crazy? Cause now we've seen it. We've seen his like anger temper tantrum side where he's just huge and really strong. And so if he has a lashes out and hits you, like you could die. So, And he taught that to Maya, you know, that's that whole scene. We see him like beat up that ice cream guy. And then when he's like saying sorry to Maya for her having to see it, she goes over and kicks the ice cream guy as like a little girl. And it's like, oh, no, You're just passing that on. So I'm excited that he survived. Not because yay, the bad guy's alive, but because more Kingpin as a bad guy. He's a really good villain.
Oh yeah.
I am a little bummed that, you know, we're almost to the end. We still haven't seen anybody else. And we got that one little Daredevil blip at the beginning, and I kind of thought maybe that would mean that he would show up a couple times, but
I mean, there's still two more episodes.
It's true. There's time. All in all, fun episode. I enjoyed it. I think that it, in the best way possible, it seems like nothing happened, but also they continued the story. Like the whole episode was like a fight in a roller rink, her being captured in a roller rink, but they were still able to like tie in all of these other things that expand the story and are just knowledge of these characters, like the backstory of these characters.
Yeah. It's more connection with her family too, right? It's like after the whole roller rink, it's just like, she's in this state of like, I got to get out of here. Like, because you kind of, we, the audience, you know, we have a sense, we know like what she's wanting to do, like her goals, which are not honestly the best goals, but like her family doesn't know, right? Like Bonnie doesn't know. And Bonnie's like, I got to call the cops. And she's like, no, 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 you can't call the cops. I just can't be around, you know, law enforcement. Like, you got to let me go or just don't do it, period. And then the other guy, is it her uncle or is it another cousin? I can't remember.
I think he's Uncle Henry.
Uncle Henry. Like there's a little short conversation between him and one of the goons that kind of leads like, okay, is he working for Kingpin too? It seemed like they made it seem like he's maybe a part of that association. Like he's doing stuff behind the scenes at maybe the roller rink is kind of like part of like a money laundering thing or something. So like it draws question there. And then before even seeing Kingpin, we see Maya goes back and meets with another family member where we're building that relationship there. That's where she gets like her new leg piece essentially. And this is where I'm like, I was hoping there could be more on like, getting, especially going into like this whole like gadgety side of things of my like, oh, that's really cool. Like she's getting a new leg. Does it do like, is it going to be utilized as like a tool or something? And I understand like it's built around like more of her ancestry, but I was like hoping he'd be like, also it does this like really cool thing that you, that we'll see you maybe use later on, but we don't really know. It's just, you know, just rebuilding like, part of like her brand. It's kind of going into more of her potential outfit, maybe. I don't know.
Which but is also like a there. Cool, it's a cool thing, you know. I think we talked about this last week, that like Echo canonically in the comics is not an amputee,
right?
But because the actress was, they like worked it into the story, and they did it in such like a flawless way that
yeah,
if you didn't know and you watched Hawkeye and you watched this and then you went and read Echo, you would be like, oh well, like when does she lose her leg? Because like it's like ingrained into my brain since I watched this before reading any Echo stuff, but it's like she's so much cooler now, like in the show. So yeah, I mean, I hope that like, I hope she gets more gadgets. It becomes like some cool,
right?
She's just got like weapons that pop out of it.
Well, I mean, like, you think about like really fighting far. With Daredevil, right? Like Daredevil, you know, he's so much martial art focused, but he's got little gadgets that he uses. You know, he's got his like batons that turn into like this somewhat of a whip or like cable thing, you know? And I'm seeing like the Echo and Daredevil almost kind of mirror one another in ways in terms of like their fighting techniques and just their style of things. But yeah, like now I'm like, well, I'm a gadget geek too, so like I want more more of that stuff. Maybe we'll get it.
Double O Echo,
right?
I'm
man,
definitely.
She needs to be in a Bond movie.
She'd be really cool.
That would be dope.
Yeah, especially because like I still can't get the image of those sword legs from the first.
Oh, from King. Yeah, the King.
From
Kings,
yeah. Yeah.
Kingsman.
I was like,
right.
that would be
oh,
such
man.
A cool thing if like that's like, a gadget she got.
And if Disney really wanted to take this on more of that, you know, which we're now steering off. I mean, we've come to the episode. But I saw someone was like, they're kind of referencing back to Echo and just the maturity level. But then they brought up the one fight scene in Punisher where he like smashes the face in the glass and just drags it all the way down. Like that, like nothing's got near that. That was rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Punisher show had
that whole fight scene. That was that. Mm.
I think when they made that show, they were like, they're going to cut us loose. Like, we're not going to be able to keep making these. So, like, let's just do it. Let's make
like
a crazy Punisher movie.
They had it in like, what's our budget again? All right, let's make sure we're using like every cent in every way we can because we're not getting renewed.
So we'll see. I mean, you know, I feel like every day I'm seeing something new about like Punisher's going to come back.
Yeah.
As part of the Daredevil series, but also he's getting his own series. But
more,
also.
Yeah. Like, and then, you know, the whole Foggy. Was Karen right? Foggy and Karen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that their whole like situation's up in question of like, are they coming into this new show? The note that you made earlier, are they going to put this as a way of merging the two? And it's like, are these characters that maybe get killed off by Kingpin, like at the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Like, could that happen? Which explains like why they're not being, you know, recast or anything.
Right.
There's more Iron Fist news that's been circulating. Like, everyone's like, now, like, where's Jessica Jones? Like, let's,
right.
If we're going to do all this, like, let's renew Jessica Jones, bring that back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's like so much they could do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see what they do.
Right.
Actually, like, move forward with, especially with like how many rumors have been circulating and, you know, the strikes pushed everything back. So some things may have gotten canceled or may have gotten mm-hmm. changed or, you know, merged into other projects. So we'll see. But for this episode, was there anything else you guys had for this one? Okay.
Nope.
All in all, good watch, good solid halfway through episode. I'm excited for more. I'm still kind of bummed that it's a short season, but
yeah,
got to do what you got to do. So hopefully we'll get Echo season 2, or I guess that will just be Daredevil season 1. I don't know.
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
I mean, so, we pretty much got to wrap this up. We got 2 more episodes to talk about and then we'll have Madam Web.
Yay.
And then it's going to be question mark. Like,
yeah, until what? The only other one I can think of off the top of my head is we'll get Daredevil. Deadpool and.
Should get Kraven later
Kraven.
This year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all in all, for movies, at least this year, I'm only looking forward to one. you know, I'll watch the other ones, but
yeah.
I think Deadpool, I'm excited for. Madam Web, I don't know. I still can't really figure out like what they're trying to do. And
well,
then...
and did you see the news that they announced last week? So, which this was, I can't remember if this was our question to answer from last week, which was the Spider-Man appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Last week our question was.
We are researching real quick, listeners.
Yeah. Oh, dang it. Whenever I shrink pages, stuff disappears. Gotta prove I'm not a robot.
Yeah. Well, while we're verifying, you know, I think this is the big question on everyone's mind is like, okay, we're getting this, you know, this new movie that is connected to Spider-Man in some way. Will we potentially get a Spider-Man appearance? And while that hasn't really been confirmed, they basically came out and said that this is going to be a standalone story set in 2003. That's kind of tied, like not part of any of the existing Spider-Man trilogies or you know, movies that we've gotten. So now it's like, okay, where's this gonna go then? Like what are they gonna do if this is kind of not really tied in with any of the existing Spider-Man that we know? Like, will Spider-Man even be a part of this at all?
And why is it set in 2003 if it's not specifically connected to anything?
Yeah, yeah.
They want the fun outfits because guess what? They weren't fun. They were terrible outfits.
Yeah. Ugh.
I don't know. The more that I see the trailer for it, the more I'm like, this just seems like
I've seen it so many times now. I'm just kind of, I don't know. I'm just ready.
Yeah.
It's just one, like, it's ready to watch it.
Watching that, it makes me feel like they were like, we want to introduce these characters, but we don't want to give them all their own show or movie. So instead, we're just going to, like, crush them all into one story that loosely ties them all together and also introduces them all in one universe together. And it was like, what? our question last week was about what do we think is the origin of Maya's abilities.
Oh, yeah. If it was more the celestial.
Like cosmic or.
Cosmic,
tied to the stones.
Right.
Some sort of mutant ability, maybe. I think that I'm leaning towards cosmic. It just has that, like, this doesn't seem like a super ability. It doesn't seem like any sort of mutation that would give you this ability.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they dropped the Infinity Stones altogether,
mm-hmm.
which is weird, right? Like, we know that they're still out there. But yeah, this just has some sort of cosmic air for me, at least.
Mm. Yeah, it's hard to think of the stone, like, because Loki feels like with Loki, they just kind of debunked the whole Infinity Stones. It was just like, they're not, honestly, they're not really that important. It's like they're everywhere. They're in every universe. Is what it, like, they just made it seem like no big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be cosmic. I think I kind of lean more towards potentially a celestial approach. I wouldn't say mutant, but I wonder if this is more of like, I don't know, just alien, unknown.
Yeah.
I guess that would fall in celestial approach. That's kind of what I lean towards.
How about you, Elisa?
At least to me at this point, it seems like it's probably almost like a spiritual thing. I could see it being cosmic because we saw in the first episode that the first Choctaws weren't like humans. There were other beings who came to Earth. So it could be something like that, like almost for that other like type of being, that other species, like biological. But the way it's presented is it feels like a very like connecting with ancestors on a like spiritual kind of level thing. So that's the way I've interpreted it. I'm probably wrong because they're probably going to retcon it and make it something like, oh, she was a mutant. But that's just the way that it is in my head right now, three episodes in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely could.
I'm thinking about like Kunlun and Tao Lo. Those are both sort of like spiritual based realms, not necessarily tied to anything else. So I can see that.
Well, there's like a specific, I can't remember the character. I have the visual in my mind. This is from like Mortal Kombat, that whole, you know, story, like, you know, IP. But I'm pretty sure there was like a character that like kind of drew from like spiritual ancestors for their power, kind of like that approach. So like it could, I don't know.
That's pretty solid. Yeah. Well, I think for next week, we'll just go easy. Like, let us know. It's not related to Echo, but let us know what Marvel thing you're excited for this year. It could be a series. It could be a movie. Those are limited. It could be a comic. Maybe you're really into the comics and you've got a comic coming out that you're really excited about. So let us know, and we'll let you all know next week what we are looking forward to. But for this week, I think that does it. So thank you all for listening. Join us next week for episode five.
Four.
Just kidding. Four. Episode four of Echo, where we will hopefully learn a little bit more as we inch ever closer to what's the finale going to be. You know, are we leading to something? I don't know. We'll find out in two episodes. So see you guys next time.
Bye.